Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 10th day of September. I'm Paul White. Thanks for joining me on a Friday. I hope you've had a great week. If the weekend is yours without work, I hope you enjoy that and you rest and spend some time recharging your batteries. If you've got to work this weekend or whatever that looks like, may you be prosperous. May you be safe. May you be blessed. We're praying for all of you, whoever you are, wherever you are. I thank the Father for you. Thank you for reaching out to us. So many of you write us or email us, message us, and we are so thankful to hear from you and to hear that we are making a difference and making an impact. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to share the gospel with you. We thank you for your financial support. So many of you who have blessed us with a dollar here, $10 there, $100 there. Some of you who support monthly and help us on a consistent basis, whether you're a one-time giver, a monthly giver, a weekly giver. We are so appreciative, and we thank the Father for you, and we're just asking His favor in your life as well. We don't put any pressure on you. We do not preach the tithe. You don't live under the law. You are grace people. You are responding to the voice of the Spirit. If what you hear blesses you and you hope that it continues, I pray that you'll help us out if you can. If you are ever interested in giving, you can always give at paulwhiteministries.com. We have a PayPal account you can give to. You can give by credit card. You can give via the Cash App. Our Cash App signal is $PaulWhiteMinistries. You can also write us at Post Office Box 1030, Flowery Branch, Georgia, 30542. We have a lot of people that send checks and give that way, and if you choose to do that, we are so thankful. Okay, I like to do that every now and then. I really just try to wait for the moment when I sense that it's the right time. We don't do that often, but every few weeks, maybe once a month. And I hope that you're patient and can take that once or twice that we do that. I am at a segment here in the Cain and Abel story that, to me, really exemplifies the gospel. And if you need a spot in the Cain and Abel story to preach a simple and deep at the same time, message on our Lord Jesus, I think the death of Abel is a way to do it. And here's how I would break that down. The Bible tells us that Abel is the brother of Cain, the younger brother of Cain, and it sets up the family conflict that is so prevalent in many of the biblical stories, whether it's Jacob and Esau, whether it's the spiritual brotherhood stories of Judah and Israel constantly in conflict and in fight. And then the conflicts of husbands and wives, the conflicts of parents and kids. It all seems to stem from this first murder in the garden, and it starts to put murder on par with gossip, backbiting, hatred, because it manifests itself in different ways. Murder is not simply the stabbing of someone or ending their life physically, but the New Testament starts to say, hey, we've been doing a lot more for a long, long time. And so Abel becomes a character who is killed in a conflict with people that he's supposed to love and that are supposed to love him. As a type and shadow, he becomes Jesus. Well, he becomes Jesus in multiple ways. The most obvious is that the Bible calls Abel a tender of sheep, keeper of sheep, which means he is a shepherd. And Jesus, of course, will call himself the good shepherd. And so in that way, without any other parallels, we have Abel as a type of Christ. We have Abel in a conflict with his older brother, with that which is supposed to love him and protect him. Jesus is in a conflict on the earth with his older brother, and by older brother, I'm not talking about his natural older brother, although he does have a conflict with his natural brothers. They think he's crazy. But he has a conflict with his spiritual brothers, the people who are supposed to be over him. Those high priests end up murdering him. They end up being a source of his death. Not the only source, but there is a parallel there, that there's a conflict within the family that Jesus has to deal with. And in that way, he's much like Abel. And of course, in the most obvious way, is that Abel's blood is shed, he is killed. Jesus' blood is shed, he is killed. And so Abel, a shepherd, dies at the hands of his brother. Jesus, a shepherd, dies at the hands of his brethren. And once you have laid that out, that precedent has been established, then you can go to work on some of the ancillary ideas, for instance, about Cain. Remember, in Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees and the high priests in the book of John, he says, they think he's insulting them because he talks about them not knowing Abraham, and they say, how can you mean we don't know Abraham? We're Abraham's seed. And Jesus says, well, you may be in the lineage of Abraham, but you're not really his kids, because if you were really his kids, you would believe in me. And that's one of the first indications in the Gospels that Israel does not have a corner on the market in being God's people. And that's something Paul will expound on and go, you're not really part of Israel because you're circumcised. You're part of Israel because you're circumcised in heart. And it's interesting to me that now we don't even teach that in the church. We actually look at Israel as a national entity. But both Jesus and Paul started to view Israel as a people who believed on Jesus. Paul would even go so far in Galatians 6 as to call that the Israel of God. Well, the conflict then, that really ticks off the leaders in Israel. And that conflict leads to Jesus saying, you are of your father who was a murderer from the beginning. And the first murderer in the Bible is Cain. And there is Jesus comparing his accusers to Cain, which lets them know the character he thinks he is. Because remember, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. In fact, if you walk through this in the New Testament, in John chapter 8, Jesus tells them in verse 44, you're of your father, he was a murderer from the beginning. All right, so who was the first murderer? Cain. Now, two chapters later, in John 10, Jesus says, I'm the Good Shepherd. Okay, by calling them a murderer and then calling himself a shepherd, it's clear to his audience, and John's gospel tries to make this clear, he's calling them Cain and him Abel. This sets them up prophetically for his blood to be shed, so that when he dies, they will be able to see him in the same light they saw Abel. And that sets us up for a transition in the book of Hebrews, which goes back, and that's a book written to Hebrews, goes back to the Abel story to round it out. We'll give you the Sunday drop tomorrow, but we'll also round this out with the author of Hebrews. I think this is exciting where this goes, because we're going to watch that blood hit the ground, both of Abel and of Jesus. We'll get there tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.